My fellow Americans and my fellow patriots all across this great nation and all across the globe. Wow. Politics, politics, politics. It seems like that's all that's on our minds. It seems like that's all that we are all engaged in. And it seems like we feel as if America's falling apart, which it is. Now, I got a question for you guys. What is collusion, right? Well, collusion is when an attorney general meets in secret with the spouse of someone under investigation. Collusion is when the media provides questions to one candidate in advance of a presidential debate. Collusion is when a political party conspires with one candidate to block another candidate in their primary. Collusion is when a sitting president wiretaps the candidate of the opposing party to help their opponent. Collusion is when government officials leak classified information to the media to smear a sitting U.S. president. Collusion is when an FBI director hands out immunity to persons involved in a criminal investigation after they destroyed evidence. Sound like something familiar? Yeah, that was Trump's entire presidency. Putting Russian collusion aside, putting the fake Atlantic story aside, putting two impeachments. He's a two-time impeachment champ. Putting that aside, this is what we went through. And then I keep constantly hearing people on the left continuously calling this whole, I guess what they call a conspiracy or the big lie about the election results. And they expect us to believe anything the left has to say. They expect us to sit back and just accept it for what it is. They got the wrong group of people. They've got the wrong group of people, if that's what they think. We've let every single individual get away with everything. Americans, Republicans, specifically conservatives, we've stood by while we see Andrew Cuomo bragging about what a great job he's doing while he's covering up deaths in nursing homes, having affairs. Where's the Me Too movement? I'm wondering where the Me Too movement is, where Andrew Cuomo's harassing 11 different women. Me Too movement is nowhere to be found. Where is the mainstream media in criticizing Joe Biden's policies and everything he's done? The criticism was there for Donald Trump, but apparently Joe Biden's done nothing wrong. Now, mind you, this is a dummy that's been in office for 47 years and never been taken serious, ever. Because he's never been taken serious. As a senator, he was a joke. And as a president and vice president, he's a joke and was a joke as a vice president. The man has been wrong on everything. From foreign policy to the war in Iraq, on every single thing. This man has accomplished zilch. You don't hear the mainstream media talking about the 20-year-old Chicago cop that was killed after a traffic stop. Beautiful, beautiful woman serving our streets, serving and protecting our streets, and leaving behind a 2-year-old baby. This is sad. These are things that are happening every single day, but the media seems to disregard it or pretend it doesn't exist or it's not there, or it's just not good publicity for, you know, Wrecking Ball Joe. I came in like a wrecking ball. But nevertheless, we continue to fight. We continue to stay vigilant. We continue to have faith in our Constitution, have faith in America, and we are all praying that come 2022 we take back the House. But we can't just pray. We can't just hope. We can't just pray. We gotta have action. Okay, and I'm pleading to my entire audience, and I'm asking you all, every single one of you, make sure you're engaged. Make sure that you're fighting come 2022. Because this is crucial to everything in our country. We need people to be fighting for this. We need people to be fighting for our country. We need people to stand up. We need people to start voting. We need people to be out there making sure elections are not being tarnished, that they're not stealing our elections. And we need to be vigilant. We need to be extremely vigilant. And I hope and pray that every single American out there, is going to be fighting for that same thing, the same thing that I'm hoping to fight for. Now, I want to give you guys an update, because as much as the left continues to say, so what's going on with the Arizona audit? Nothing's going on with the Arizona audit. Yada, 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 yada. Yeah, that's complete bullshit. Now, and I'm going to let you hear it straight from the horse's mouth. This is an update, a forensic update from the Arizona Senate President Karen Fan. And then I'll let you guys decide. This was published August 8th, so this is new information. And I want you guys to get an idea, and then you guys let me know what you guys think about what's going on in Arizona.
I said, well, this isn't what we agreed on, so the Senate's going to move forward with a forensic audit.
Arizona State Senate President Karen Fan is the initiator of the Maricopa County 2020 election audit.
I've gotten death threats, got an envelope with white powder in it. The more questions we ask, the more they keep trying to sidestep.
In this exclusive interview, she reveals what media isn't saying about the audit and what the future might hold.
If there was something that was done inappropriately, if it was done criminally, I'm going to turn it over to the Attorney General's office.
Senator Karen Fan, welcome to The Wide Angle.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Senator, you've been at the forefront of this audit effort, so it's a great pleasure to have you on to get your direct perspective on where things are at and what you see happening down the track. Regarding the ongoing tensions between yourselves in the Senate and the Maricopa Board of Supervisors, you've recently tweeted, "Build the case, set the trap, and boom, the Maricopa lies will come back to haunt them." Can you give us your explanation of what you meant by this?
Yes, it's been an ongoing battle since we first started this, unfortunately, instead of them working with us, they have done everything in their power to try and stop this audit, or I'll use the word sabotage in some case. But it's interesting over the months that this has transpired how the stories have changed as to what they will do, what they won't do, promises made, promises not kept. And as all of this drags on, there is just more and more contradiction that is coming out of this from them. And so that's what the comment meant, is we're just trying to do an audit. An audit is what it is. The numbers will come out. And whatever they are, then that's what they're going to be.
When you say promises made, promises not kept, what's the most compelling example of this, would you say?
Well, when this all first started, right after the very beginning, the first week, at the end of the election week, I actually contacted all five of the supervisors and said, you know what, there's a lot of chatter out there, emails, Twitter, blogs, you know, talking about how there's problems with this election. And this is not the first time. They had problems with the 2018 election as well. The Board of Supervisors even came to me and said, we're going to hire somebody because to watch over the recorder because there were so many problems. And I said, look, we need to get ahead of this. And they said, Karen, you bet. We're 100% behind this with you. And we'll be glad to do it, that we can do a much bigger count in the audit rather than the minimum. And then there were some lawsuits filed by outside people. Then they said, oh, we cannot do this while the lawsuits are going on because we don't want to be charged with tampering with evidence. I said, I get it. About a month later, those lawsuits were all dismissed. And then I reached back out to them again. And they said, oh, well, no, we can't do any more of an audit because we can only do what the legislature authorizes us to do. And I said, well, you actually do have the power. But if you do, if you think you don't, then we'll give you that. So we set up a judicial committee hearing on a Monday morning. And I said, Supervisor Hickman, I said, please be aware, at the end of that hearing, the judicial chair is going to have two subpoenas drafted for discussion and possible approval by the committee to issue subpoenas for doing this, which will give you the authority. And this was all talked about, discussed, choreographed the week before. Supervisor Hickman knew full well that's what it was. I even said, if you don't want to be on here when this happens, then feel free to sign off. And he said, that's great. Well, they issued the subpoenas, giving them the authority to do this. And the next morning, he goes before the media and says, I felt like I was slapped in the face. I had no time, no idea this was coming. Well, there was lie number one. Well, it was probably more than lie number one. So it's just been stuff that's been going on. Then they sued us because they said, oh, the Senate doesn't have the authority to issue subpoenas. So that took another 3 weeks. Then the courts came back and said, yes, they do. And this has been a nonstop all the way through. They have refused to comply with the subpoenas on a number of issues. They have said they'd give us the routers. Then they said they won't because it was tied to security with the deputy sheriffs. And then their latest is, oh, no, there were no routers at all. And the list just keeps going on and on.
What do you think is going on here, Senator? Why do you think there's this inconsistency between the messages they're sending out and what they're saying to you behind the scenes on some occasions?
Well, this is my personal opinion, because it's interesting how they were all 100% behind right from the very beginning. And then they go into an executive session and discuss it with their attorneys and then come out with a totally different tune as to what they're going to do. We had agreed to do a forensic audit with the new chairman that came on board. He went into executive session and said, hey, from day one, I said, let's do this together. Let's do it at your facilities. I don't want the ballots moved. I don't want the machines moved. Let's pick an auditor, a forensic auditor together, and let's just do it. It would have been done months ago. Chairman Sellers, the new chairman, he said, great, that sounds like a great idea, Karen. Let's do it. I'll take it to an executive committee. They did. He came back out and said, hey, we're not going to do anything with you, but we're going to do two audits. And we're going to do SLI and ProVMV. And I said, but Jack, those aren't forensic audits. Those are the companies that are authorized to certify the machines. They do not do audits. They do not do forensic audits. And he goes, well, too bad. That's what we're doing. We're not doing anything else. And I said, but even one of them is the company that certified the machines to begin with. So they're certifying their own work. Again, they said, too bad. And I said, well, this isn't what we agreed on. So the Senate's going to move forward with a forensic audit. So you asked me the question about what's going on. I think they went into an executive session. I think that their attorney said, we don't know what we might find in a forensic audit. And this could be opening up a lot of questions that you may not want people asking. Just my own personal opinion here. And it just seems to be following through, because the more questions we ask, the more they keep trying to sidestep, not answer. They have set up their own Twitter page and website.
Now tell me, if this was a clean election and they were certain that everything was ran so perfect, just like in Georgia, that they had the lowest number of any election ever, any errors done in an election ever, if they were so certain, then why are they trying to continuously keep covering this up? The left will argue that this is a big lie. The left will argue that we continuously keep trying to find this, find that. No, we don't trust the government because the government hasn't given us any reason to trust them. And we know, we saw Donald Trump's rallies. We saw the support Donald Trump had. And we know there was something fishy about this entire election. I, for one, do not feel Arizona ever flipped blue. And I believe Karen Fan does not either.
Website, and they are literally spoon feeding what they want people to know. Who does that? You're a municipality, you're elected officials. Why aren't they sitting down at the table with us and saying, let's walk through this? We had a hearing on July 15th again where we said, look, here's what we're finding so far. 2 and 2 is not adding up to 4. Could you please help us? Give us an explanation. Give us the things that you were missing that you did not give us from the.
Now, you guys heard that, right? 2 and 2 are not adding. 2 and 2 are not adding. Keep in mind, he lost Arizona by about 10,000 votes.
Pina, that will answer it. And they have just flat out said, no, we're not even talking to you.
It kind of seems like there was the potential for a congenial cooperative arrangement. You've mentioned that their attorneys, you suspect maybe their attorneys have guided them in a different direction. Do you think there's another external influence that's dissuaded them from cooperating as they might have before?
I think that's the primary reason. But yeah, of course, the liberal media from day one, before we even selected an auditor, they have been really down on this. The Democrats are 100% against this. They do not want this audit going on. My problem is, or my frustrations is that this has always been about election integrity. Nothing else. Absolutely nothing else. This is about making sure that our votes are counted, they're counting properly, that the Maricopa County recorder or any recorder election official is following the rules, that they are doing what they said they were supposed to do when they took that oath. We know that there's been problems. We know that over the past decade or so, that line has been moved and moved and moved, that we're not following the rules anymore. And every time we try and bring it up or we try and do some election integrity laws or bills to try and, you know, close up some loopholes that might be there, the Democrats come back and say, you have no proof. Well, here we are trying to show you the proof, but they don't want us to find the proof.
This seems like quite compelling evidence that something went awry in the election process.
So, for example, we have 74,243 mail-in ballots where there is no clear record of them being sent. And just to be clear, here in the state of Arizona, there's EV32s and EV33s. EV32s is supposed to give a record of when a mail-in ballot is sent, and an EV33 is supposed to give a record of when the mail-in ballot is received. And so there should be an equal, you know, there should be more EV32s, more sent out than there are that are received. Specifically with these, we can tie them to a specific individual that was mailed to. And so we have 74,000 where we have them came back from individuals where we don't have a clear indication that they were ever sent out to them. We have 11,326 people that did not show up on a November 7th version of the voter rolls that should have been, you know, after votes were cast, but then appeared on the December 4th voter rolls. And just to be clear, they show as voted in this past election, but they were not a November 7th version of the file, and they did show up on the December 4th version.
That fraud. They are to record an identical serial number on both the original and duplicate ballot, including spoiled duplicates. This ties the ballots together and creates a paper trail as required by the statute ARS 16621A. We found, I would have to say, thousands of duplicate ballots where those serial numbers are not on them.
So how do you understand the kind of opposition from the media, from certain politicians that you're getting to this?
Thank you, Brandon. So let's talk about the 74,000. So that is a question that the auditors asked on the 15th. We believe that there might be a very logical explanation for that, but it was not apparent Or it didn't tie in with what we were able to tie it in with. We believe that there is a good possibility that those 74,000 can be accounted for. But because they won't even answer our questions, we are still trying to dig that answer out. However, what happens is that they immediately turned that around, said, oh, you accused us of 74,000 ballots missing or not accounted for. What we said is it's not adding up. Could you please, you're not giving us everything we need to tie these knots together. So that is, we don't know for a fact whether there's 74. What we do know is that we need additional information to tie that up. Let's talk about the duplicate ballots. That we do know. We do know that there are boxes that were marked that they were duplicate ballots. Now, in Arizona and every other state, if you have a spoiled ballot, somebody that spoiled their ballot, then we make a duplicate ballot. And you run the duplicate on through because the spoiled ballot won't go through. Every ballot has a number, 12345, hypothetically. And when you make a duplicate ballot, you're supposed to mark that one, 12345. So you know that there's only one duplicate ballot that is replacing one original spoiled ballot. We have boxes of ballots that are marked duplicate, and none of them have corresponding numbers on them. This is what our auditor is telling us right now. This is what Mr. Bennett is telling me, who is a past Secretary of State that viewed this personally. Now, if that is the case, they broke the rules. They broke the laws, whoever was in charge. Number two, how do we know that those really are duplicate ballots then? If they were not numbered, how do we know that they actually match up with spoiled ballots? So there is a serious problem there.
Well, it certainly sounds like there's enough there to justify suspicion and to justify investigation. So how do you understand the way the corporate media is treating this and the way certain politicians are responding to this?
Well, I've even asked some of the, I've asked a lot of people and I've asked the media. I said, you know, you guys were down on this from day one, even before we selected the auditor, even before we did anything. It has been a total negative the whole time. So we have had to battle. And I keep saying, you guys, it's an audit. When it's done, they'll give us our numbers and you can poke holes in it all you want because you know it's going to go to court. If they find anything different than what Maricopa County says, we know it's going to go to court. It's probably going to be tied up in court for a long time. So why don't you just wait to see what the results are? But no, they have attacked it from day one. When we brought this stuff out on the 15th, I was just talking to a reporter yesterday and I said, you know, why is it you guys aren't asking Maricopa the questions about these duplicate ballots? Why aren't you asking questions about, you know, why aren't they giving us the splunk lives? If they have nothing to hide, why are they purposely not sitting down and talking with us? Why are they withholding information? But they don't want to ask them those questions. So it's difficult. It's really difficult when we can't even get unbiased media reporting both sides of the issue here.
Senator, I'd like to get your idea of where you see things heading from this point. Basically, as I understand it, the Board of Supervisors have signaled they're not going to cooperate, they're not going to respond to this new subpoena requests. So what do you see happening from here? What are the possible avenues forward?
Thank you. What I will tell you, first of all, and from a personal view, my heart is broken. These people have been friends of mine. The supervisors have been friends of mine for, in some cases, decades. So it breaks my heart that they have taken this stance because it never should have gotten to this. As I said, we should have been doing this together from the get-go. This is about election integrity. So I don't want it to get any uglier. I don't want to this drag on. I want information. I want results. I want proof and put it out there. And if there was something that was done inappropriately, if it was done criminally, I'm going to turn it over to the Attorney General's office. We have a department there, a division that deals with election integrity. I'd like to turn it over to them and let them get to the bottom of whatever we find. So we will turn a lot of that over. If we find that some of our procedures just aren't working very well, then as a Senate body, that's our job, is to tweak those laws to make sure things aren't falling between the cracks, that we're doing this right. Again, this has been nothing more than just election integrity and answering the questions. We have 45% of the people in Arizona, and I believe that's pretty much across many of the states, that say they do not have any trust and faith in our election process anymore. 45%. That's a lot. It should never be that. And I am so disappointed that the Board of Supervisors isn't listening to those 45% and say, you know what, let's answer your questions. Let's put the confidence back into this system. Let's show you that either we did it right or we had some mistakes and we're going to fix them. But to just ignore the public and tell them that their voices don't count anymore, that's the real crime here.
And this widespread loss of faith among people in the election process, I think that prompts another question. Where do you see this audit fitting into the overall mission of preserving America's Constitution?
I think it's number one, and it's tantamount to preserving that. You know, we say we have a lot of, we believe in so many of our constitutional rights, but I will tell you election integrity is number one. And why do I say that? It's because whoever is holding office usually dictates about how our society goes. So when we talk about our freedom of speech, which is being silenced right now by the liberal media, we're literally being bullied into silence, whether it's through Twitter or Facebook or many of the other social media outlets. If they don't like what you're saying, or they think they believe that you're not saying the right thing, they're shutting your accounts down. And that's coming from the federal government. I've got the Department of Justice here that is now threatening, if we go actually do a canvassing to verify for some of the affidavits, they're trying to say that that is voter intimidation. But it's not intimidation, or it's not a violation of rights if they knock on somebody's doors to see whether they've been vaccinated or not, or they knock on somebody's doors for when we're doing a census. I don't understand why it is we can't verify that 25 ballots were sent to one house when only two people live there, or why there was over 75 ballots sent to a vacant lot in Tucson. We're supposedly not allowed to check that out. So it's extremely frustrating that we are being stopped. Let's talk about our rights to defend ourselves. Look at who's in the office right now, and they're trying to take away our gun rights. They're trying to shut down our protections of protecting our family. So when I say election integrity is number one, it is number one, whether it's freedom of speech, freedom of religion, rights to bear arms, anything we do, because they're doing exactly what they are trying to do right now is change our Constitution.
Senator, since your official request for the audit in December 2020, it's been a long haul, no doubt, with attacks coming from all quarters. Overall, how do you feel about the direction that the audit has taken?
It's been frustrating. That's how I feel. The fact that they wouldn't work with us and do it at their facilities. We literally had to move 2.1 million ballots into our state fairgrounds, the Coliseum, which has cost us and everybody else hundreds of thousands, literally millions of dollars more. Of having to do it this way just because they did not want to work with us. Just the continuing dragging on and the interruptions and the, as I told you, the media, which doesn't seem to want to report both sides of it. But we're doing it for the right reasons. No matter, you know, I've gotten death threats, got an envelope with white powder in it. I sometimes get emails that have more 4- and 5-letter words strung together than I've ever heard in my life. But that's only about 25% of the emails. The other 75% are saying, we support you. This is important to us.
And yes, we do.
The Arizona audit, and we support everybody sticking our necks out there and trying to do the right thing about election integrity. So somebody has to do it. Somebody has to stand.
Let me explain what's happening here. They're trying to cover up evidence. This is enough for me to suspect the fact that they're blocking off all this information, and they want the American people to confidently feel as if Joe Biden won this election. They would cooperate to the fullest extent. If they feel Dominion did their job correctly and all the electorals and everybody that worked during the election did everything correctly, they would not be concealing information. But apparently they are. All this leads me to believe is this election was rigged. This election was rigged. Arizona's the tipping point. We need to make sure that we get the Arizona audit, the information that we require. We need to know what happened in Arizona. I actually want to hear from you guys because it's very important to me. I want to hear your voices, the American people. I always promise you that I will be your voice. You can reach me at the Republican Nation, 310-498-5463. That's 310-498-5463. And I will air you live. I don't care what's on your mind, what you have to say. I will be your voice. You can also reach me via email at Jase, J-A-S-E, at therepublicannation.com. This is very disturbing, what I'm listening to right here. And I wanted everybody, because people have questions, and the left is continuously trying to debunk. Now, they know vacant lots have received a ton of ballots. How many other vacant lots did? And what happened with these duplicate ballots? Did they get counted? Again, remember, this is a very small margin Donald Trump lost his state to. Very small margin. And if this occurred here, then what occurred in Michigan when they shut down everything? Philadelphia? Georgia? Who apparently Stacey Abrams, who is not even a politician, was negotiating with the Secretary of State. Don't know how that works, how you can violate legislative laws and you can create your own rules without going through the legislators. But this is why it's so important that we focus on the 2022 elections and we put the right people in power, because this should not be a right or left issue. This should be an American issue, and we should want to get to the bottom of this. Again, obviously, we have more of a motive to get to the bottom of it because we feel Donald Trump was cheated off this election, and I'm certain of it. I'm going to watch the Mike Lindell, the whole exposing of what occurred in this election. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it, and I'm going to talk about it. These are interviews that people will not find, because you got to dig so deep to find these interviews that it's crazy. These do not circulate. These are interviews that are thrown under the rug because the media doesn't want to expose it. Facebook will take it off if they see it. And this is a senator, a state senator. This is a state senator that is fighting for integrity. If they start with the voting rights, they will go after your guns. They will go after your freedom of speech. They will go after every single one of your rights. We need answers. And we require answer. You heard her statistics. 45% of Americans believe this election was rigged. Plain and simple. We matter. That 45% matters. And I'm sure it's probably a lot higher than that. But let's continue to hear what she has to say.
Stand up and say, if we're not following the rules, we have to be following the rules. We cannot just arbitrarily change the rules. The laws, one person making a decision to say, oh, I think we're just going to mail out ballots to everybody, or I think we're just going to extend the deadline for registering to vote because I think that's so, or deciding that instead of checking the ballot signatures, we're not going to check the signatures anymore. Remember, we got to where we are today because of a procedure that we did. Let's talk about those envelopes. When we have mail-in ballots, a lot of people are now saying don't do mail-in ballots anymore, because the rules are being broken. You know, you're supposed to request a ballot, not just arbitrarily have one sent to you. You are supposed to fill it out a certain way in the bubbles. Not what Mr. Fontes says is, oh, if you make a mistake, put an X through it and just fill in another bubble. You're supposed to put it in the envelope, sign your signature there. And now they say, oh, well, if your signature isn't there, we're not going to worry about that either. So it's no wonder that people are saying, let's not do mail-in ballots anymore if they're not even going to follow the rules that were put into place to make sure that mail-in ballots are secure. So I'd hate to see us go away from that. We have a lot of senior citizens who physically are not able to go stand in line for 2 weeks. But by George, we better be following the rules if we're going to do these things.
What would you say the best outcome would be for this audit?
Well, the very best outcome is that the supervisors would say, let's call a truce here. Let's sit down. Let's see what you've got and let's walk through it. Let's see if we can come up with explanations of why 2 and 2 isn't adding up. And the things that we do have proof of, I would like them to say, you know what? The recorder didn't do their job very well. And so that person needs to be held accountable. We need to make sure that our election laws are done better. You know, if you run out of ballot paper at a polling place, you don't send somebody to the nearest Staples to buy a ream of paper, which is, I have an affidavit stating that that's what they did. So those are the things we should be working together on, saying, no, that's not acceptable. Let's have our rules. Let's make sure our rules are very concise and very clear, and let's follow them. That's all I'm asking for.
We know that Arizona has been at the forefront of this challenge to the 2020 election. What's your take on what's happening in other states? We know that other states already have their own audit processes underway. What's your opinion on that?
Well, I just came back from a conference last week where there was 1,500 people there, many that were legislators from all over the states. And this audit was one of the number one conversations. And they were all so supportive of it. And interesting, they asked me that same question. And I said, you know, one thing that I learned from this that I will be shouting from the rooftops when it's all over with, every single state has to have a better auditing process, automatic system set up, because the reality is if you're not watching over somebody's shoulder, that making sure that they're doing it right, chances are people are getting lackadaisical or they're doing things not right for whatever reason. So I believe every single state here needs to set up, implement auditing procedures, secure ones, not we're going to do 2,500 ballots out of 2 million. This has to be something more extensive. It has to be a check and balance system to make sure that people cannot make mistakes, or people cannot intentionally do anything with our ballots, or just plain get lazy.
I think that's at least one of the positive outcomes that will come out of this process, Senator. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Yes, just one more thing. When we talk about what's going on the federal level and the heat that's coming down, please, everybody note that H.R. 1 that is being discussed right now, one of the biggest things in there is they want the federal government to take over elections, which is contrary to what our Constitution says. The Constitution gives our states the sole rights of making sure that we have fair and honest elections. So I often wonder if some of the pushback or some of the stuff that's going on right now, is this tying in with that whole agenda on the Democratic federal level of trying to get H.R. 1 so the federal government can take over all of the elections across the nation?
Senator.
Guys, if that was to ever happen, if H.R. 1 was to ever happen, our votes would literally not count. You can forget our votes. You can forget ever thinking that we're going to elect any official. The officials will be elected by the federal government. This is all, again, gaslighting from the left. They're blocking everything in every which way. We got rhinos on the right that are trying to block it off because they may be conspired and they may be involved in something. I don't know. These are things, these are speculations that I'm making. But I can tell you, when something does not feel right, when something does not feel right, it's usually because it's not right. And most Americans feel this. To the core, we feel this. Arizona's just one state of many. I mean, I can give you, when they did a recount in Georgia, and this was just a recount without verifying signatures, without doing anything, it's just counting the same fraudulent ballots. They found that they were missing 2,500 votes for Donald Trump. They misplaced 2,500 votes. 2,500 votes were misplaced. How many more mistakes did they commit? Especially when it was such a small margin. You're talking about Wisconsin's like an 18,000 vote margin. And they violated every legislative law you can even think of in the state of Wisconsin. And I promise you, I visited the state of Wisconsin. You got Madison that's pretty liberal. You got Milwaukee that's pretty liberal. But aside from that, the rest of Wisconsin's hardcore Republicans. And this scares me because this scares me for the future of my children. I want my children to have the same rights that I grew up with. And these people are literally trying to change the Constitution. The document that makes this country so great, that has made this country so great and so prosperous. The Democrats' number one agenda is to destroy this country. With every stupid idea that they come up with, whether it's critical race theory, whether it's green new energy deals, whether it's they always have something stupid, or the new infrastructure bill that's a $3.5 trillion spending bill that's just going to inflate us even more. And this is going to jeopardize small businesses, because we all know that's what's going to happen. Taxpayers are going to end up paying for it. I mean, again, guys, we are the people. The Constitution begins with we the people that chose these members. We chose these people. We are the voice of America. We are America. And this should frighten everybody from the right and from the left. When you have, and I'll give you a perfect example, when you have, for example, situations like what occurred this weekend in Portland, Oregon, where you have a group of Christians that were there for prayer, and then Antifa goes, attacks them, pepper sprays the eyes of a priest, and then starts throwing smoke grenades, or I forgot what they were throwing. They were throwing gas, basically disbursement gas, to the crowd of people that were praying. And it's okay, and no cops got involved because Portland has no more police officers, and everybody's left. This is the problem in this country. People do not realize law enforcement is there to protect our freedoms. We are letting mobs, we are letting groups, corporations control the United States of America. And that shit has to stop. We are allowing this to happen, because at any point we can stop this. Because again, it's we the people. It's not we the government. It's not we the Speaker of the House. It's not we the president. It's we the people. We could put an end to this when we want to. We're allowing malicious groups. I mean, Antifa's no longer even hiding anymore the fact that they're Antifa. They're actually branding themselves. I literally saw an image of a man wearing a face mask covering himself, and it said Antifa on the side of it. Like, they're letting them know it's Antifa. This is crazy, bizarre. If you guys have any questions, you got the number. Let's listen in to see if we got any voicemails. Yeah, we got one. I think I know who this is. Okay, don't know what's going on here, why it's not playing. Could we be possibly having a technical difficulty? But, I mean, guys, we need to wake up. If we don't wake up, we are going to lose our country. We're going to lose our country. And it's not about Q. It's not about any of these stupid conspiracy theories. It's about getting out there, making sure we have fair elections, making sure that we are protected, making sure that this is ran the way it's supposed to run. And I admire this lady so much for standing up against the left, against the rhinos, and defending the American people.
Yeah, you're doing a terrific tonight. Okay. Chase, my name is John, and I'm calling from St. Louis, Missouri, suburbs of St. Louis. Just want to tell you that you're doing a terrific job tonight. Listen to your podcast every day. Especially episodes, if you're not on that day. We need more folks like you on the Republican side to speak the truth. And in reference to Dr. Q, you know, I find him to be entertaining, and some of his theories wacko, obviously. But I don't mind when you have them on. So if you have them on once in a while, it's entertaining and gives you a different perspective. Anyway, brother, keep it up. Keep on going and going. And I appreciate you. Thanks.
I appreciate you as well. Thank you so much for the love and support. You guys are what drives me to continue to push forward with this. It's very difficult when you're juggling so many different things, when you've got so many different things going on in life. But I know that people need an outlet. I know people need a voice. I know that people need to feel that they're not alone. Like, now I found my new, guys, I swear to you, I found my new obsession. My new obsession is TikTok. And the reason I tell you this is because it is the perfect place to troll the shit out of lefties. And I'll tell you, I mean, I just post up the most random videos. I'll post up a video of me just saying, Trump won. You guys know it. We know it. And the world knows it. Oh, my God. And then the herd just comes in and the comments of hate and all that just comes in. And it's funny because if they were so confident that Donald Trump did not win, they'd probably just ignore my comment, but they have to engage. And the thing that I've noticed the most about the people on the left, they're miserable as shit. If you notice, they're extremely miserable people. I mean, they literally have to hate their lives because it is just incredible the hate that they have inside of them. The things that come out of their mouths is just despicable. It's things that I would never even think of telling anyone. But they freely say it to you like they don't care. I hope you die. I hope we find you floating in a canal. I mean, the things that they tell me, and I just laugh and shrug it off because I know that at the end of the day, the ones that are carrying that hate and that burden is the left. That's all the left knows how to do. They just attack. They are so confused and they are so out of touch with reality and angry with their own lives that it comes out every single time. That you see it every single time with the left. They're angry individuals. They're not, they're just, it's sad. It's actually just a sad thing to witness. I mean, I have people that literally follow me on every single platform you can think of just to try to attack me as if I give a fuck. I really don't care. I will continue to say what I want to say. I will continue to speak the truth, or at least my truth and your truth. Nobody's going to stop me from doing what I like to do. No one's going to stop my voice. I promise you that. No one's going to stop my voice anywhere. Not in person, not on the radio, not on stream. Never. If they try to shut me down and if they try to silence me, I will speak louder and louder and louder and louder because I just don't give a fuck. I will fight for this country because I love this country. I love this country so much because of all the opportunities this country has given my family, myself, my children, my mom, my dad, everybody. The opportunities it gives to every single individual out there, every American out there, every Mexican that comes into this country legally, or every South American that comes into this country legally, fleeing a country like Venezuela, Cuba. This country gives them an opportunity. It's a safe haven for them. But then you have people that dislike this country so much. They hate this country so much. But yet, it's so easy to hate a country but live in that country you hate so much when that country gives you a platform where you can speak on, where that country gives you freedom of speech. Try doing that in Iran, for example. You probably won't because you know what the consequences are. That being said, guys, I appreciate all the love and support. You guys are truly my rock. And I hope that I give you as much factual information as I possibly can. Dr. Q does want to come back on the show. He wants to rebuttal. My buddy from Missouri, he heard the show and he was like, that's not what I said. But I'm going to let you guys decide. You guys let me know either via email or via voicemail whether or not you guys would like Dr. Q back on the show. The number is 310-498-5463. 310-498-5463. Keep in mind, you will stay anonymous because it's a direct voicemail. I keep the phone shut off, so it goes straight to a voicemail. It's a dedicated line just for the Republican Nation, for my listeners. Or you can email me at jace@therepublicannation.com. Now, we do have an email, and I didn't want to have to read it because it's just so sad, but it's another attack on Dr. Q, but it's Alex. Alex sent this email, Dr. Q, ... Hey, Jace, I love your show, but listening to Q is getting hard, LOL. Dude is nuts. The guy is off the reservation. Laugh out loud. I'm a Native American, so I can say that, right? Yeah, you could say that. Anyone can say that because it's not offensive, and nobody's trying to offend Native Americans. It's just a saying. But guys, God bless you. God bless your families. God bless this beautiful country we call America. And do not let these lefties bring you down. We will win. We will make America great again. We will come back. And when we come back, we will fix what they've damaged. And we will make sure we uphold the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and that every American has the same freedoms that we were all born with. God bless you all.
It is time for our politicians to summon the bravery and determination of our American ancestors. It is time. It is time to plant our flag and to protect the greatest of this nation for citizens of every race, in every city, and every part of this glorious land. For the sake of our honor, for the sake of our children, for the sake of our union, we must protect and preserve our history, our heritage, and our great heroes is in our hands. And ladies and gentlemen, the best is yet to come. We will make America great again.